John Krasinski, are you not entertained?
It is nothing if not completely and totally out of control at the end of these games these days, and I'm here for it.
So I spent, I feel guilty admitting this. I should have more of a life than this, but I didn't go to Carolina, so I had the day, basically the day off, and I spent like 15 hours watching football, and I felt kind of ashamed by the end of the day, by the end of the very long night, by the time, you know, someone actually kicked a game-winning field goal at midnight last night. I can't remember which team it was, but the league is fascinating, and the Vikings are one of the most fascinating teams in the league. I mean, they almost won at Arizona, which is 6-0, and at least by records, is easily the best team in the NFL right now. And they almost lost at home to Detroit, which is winless. And then they go play the Panthers, and we know within two series that the Panthers are god-awful. They're horrible. Sam Darnold can't play. His receivers can't catch. They can't run the ball. They have nothing going for them. And then they take the Vikings to overtime. I don't know what any of this means, John.
I don't know either, Jim. It's been crazy. You know, that I think that has been the difficulty in evaluating this team all season long, is that we do know that they have talent. Like, we know that there are, you know, there are tools and assets on both sides of the ball that can really make this team competitive on a week in and week out basis. And, you know, the Arizona game, you know, rolling up over 500 yards of offense against a really good Carolina defense on the road. Like, they have the capability of doing this, but then they go through either stretches in games or just, you know, kind of poor approaches that allow, you know, other teams to hang around. I mean, let's be honest, Jim. I mean, Sam Darnold was absolutely awful for most of that game yesterday. And there's no reason the Carolina Panthers should have been in it to begin with. Yet here they were driving all the way down the field and scoring at the end and everything like that, and making it a lot more exciting or nerve-wracking or whatever you want to call it than it should have been. But then you have Kirk Cousins, who just has turned into Luke Skywalker in the last, you know, few minutes of these games, and is putting throws right on the money, is executing the offense, and really is bailing Mike Zimmer out in some ways. And so it's just been crazy to wrap your head around. To me, like, the thing that I kept thinking about yesterday after they squeaked that one out, Jim, was, you know, Mike Zimmer probably had his job saved by Greg Joseph, the kicker, the week before, and they at least had the season probably saved by Kirk Cousins this week. And to think about how the complicated relationship that Zimmer and Cousins have had, to think about the history that Zimmer has had with kickers, it's just kind of it's a wild, crazy season that is developing here, and who knows what's going to happen next.
Well, we'll talk about what's going to happen next. I also want to get more into Cousins. This is the Viking Update Show, one of our two Viking shows at TalkNorth.com. The other one is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. That is the executive and the agent view of the NFL. This is two writers who've been covering and watching the Vikings for many decades, kicking stuff around. You can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod, see all the shows as they are released. And we have a lot of shows, a lot of outdoor content, best sports lineup in town, and some specialty shows. Next live shows, October 20th, 6 p.m., Chin Music, Lavelle Neal III, Roy Smalley, myself at the Eden Prairie Pizza Luce. That show's a lot of fun. And then October 26th, Lindsay Whalen filling in for Cheryl Reeve on the Cheryl Reeve Show. That is, Brandon, help me with the times. Am I getting the times right? We're doing 7 o'clock on October 26th with the Lindsay Whalen Cheryl Reeve Show at the Downtown Pizza Luce. But follow us on Twitter just to make sure you have the updated information on that. Get out there early, especially for the Downtown Pizza Luce. Reserve your table. Thank you to our sponsors, BetUS.com, promo code TNorth125 for 125% sign-up bonus, Star Bank, and Pizza Barn. So Cousins has been fascinating because he destroyed their season in the first 6 weeks of last year. Then he played really well the last 10 weeks. And and the logical reaction is, okay, did he play better because the pressure is off? Did he find something? Now he's played really well through 6 weeks this season. And it seems almost like, and this has been a bad second half offense in general. Now, this against the Panthers, they got it going. They scored a couple touchdowns. They hadn't scored a second half touchdown since week one. They had been really passive. They had really produced almost no points in the second halves until like the last 2 minutes of the game. And it's almost like when Cousins is emboldened, or when he feels like he has to play with urgency, all of a sudden he's throwing the ball 20, 30 yards downfield. He has excellent receivers. They move right down the field. They get the field goals they need. You wonder if there's a way of getting him to play like that in the second and third quarters as well.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thought, Jim. And I think like one thing that I was encouraged by, I will say, in terms of the performance yesterday, was it sure did seem like they were really making more of a concerted effort to get Thielen and Jefferson involved, to go down the field a little bit, to be a little more aggressive with the play calling. Dalvin Cook looked good in his return from injury, but I think they also knew that they couldn't, you know, completely just rely on him, even though he had a great day and had a bunch of carries. They were still able to kind of put the ball in Cousins' hands. You get it to Thielen 11 times. You get it to Justin Jefferson 8 times. Osborne has 6 catches, has a really good game. And so it just seemed like they were a little bit more willing to be aggressive and open things up. That was a really nice balance. And probably, you know, if you're Clint Kubiak, you know that you kind of served both masters in that game, in that you got Dalvin Cook heavily involved. And so that makes Mike Zimmer happy. And then you got Thielen and Jefferson and Cousins involved and got them in a rhythm, which makes the passing game happy. And so that's what made the Vikings so multifaceted and hard to defend in the second half, is they were a lot less predictable. I mean, we saw against the Detroit Lions all the running on second and long and things like that. And it just didn't seem like they were really fully trusting Kirk Cousins. Maybe they weren't really fully trusting the offensive line to come through in those big spots. And maybe they are starting to get a little bit more confidence that this isn't just a nice little run that Kirk Cousins is on, but that they have kind of the pieces that can sustain this over the long haul. Christian Darrisaw had a good game at left tackle, so that's encouraging as well. Maybe that will help shore up some things up front. But I do think that what we saw in that game in Carolina is much closer to the way that the modern offense runs and the way that can really maximize all of their skill guys on offense, of which there are many. And so maybe this is kind of the first step down that path, because they need more of this. They need more explosive plays. They need to, you know, to really get their guys involved and put the pressure on the defense. And they did that. So we'll see if this is maybe a harbinger of things to come here.
And I want to bring up a philosophical point here. It's so easy for Zimmer, for old school coaches, to think that running the ball is safe. Running the ball is kind of your bailout. It's a good thing to do, even if it doesn't produce yards. But we've seen Cook fumble in a key situation. We've seen Madison fumble in a key situation. We've seen holding calls on running plays that set you back. We've seen losses on running plays that really take you out of any ability to sustain a drive. You know what's safer than running the ball? Throwing the ball to Adam Thielen. True. How about those plays where Thielen, you know, a defensive back is playing off Thielen. They throw it out to Thielen. And Thielen, standing with a defender squared up to him, not only beats that guy, but gets by that guy without that guy even touching him. I mean, Thielen, on short routes, there's nothing safer than throwing the ball to Thielen. You know, the idea that running the ball is safe is really not factual, I don't think. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't run the ball. I'm not sure saying they shouldn't run Dalvin Cook. I'm saying that, like, if you're second and 10, you think the safe thing to do is run the ball, well, you very well might be third and 12 or third and 20 or whatever. And if you throw the ball to Thielen, you're probably gonna have a pretty good result.
Yeah, and I mean, there's two things there that I think you brought up that come to mind, Jim. And one is when, especially with the way that offenses are structured, the way the game is called from a penalty standpoint and all the things, it all skews toward passing offense in this modern day and age. And so when you do call a draw play on second and 11, and it goes, especially when it goes nowhere. You know, Dalvin Cook had a great day, averaged almost 5 yards a carry. So, you know, they were more productive, but like against Detroit, when you're doing that, it almost does, I think, give your offense the perception that you don't believe in it, that you're raising the white flag, you know, that you're going to live to fight another day, all those things. Like that's not, I don't think the message that you want to send, especially with skill player receivers as talented as Thielen and Jefferson, especially with Cousins, who is paid like he is and has been throwing the ball as accurately as he has been really for, you know, the last, what is it now? 22. Yeah. 16 games. Yeah. So I just think like if you start to do that, I guarantee you when they call those plays, the defense breathes a sigh of relief and they say, oh, thank God. You know, it's like Anthony Edwards taking a jump shot. It's the, you know, you have bailed out the defense by making it easy on them. And I don't think you want to do that. The second part is getting to, you know, the Thielen and the safety and of throwing the ball to Thielen there. You know, I think back to that Chicago Bears end of the season game a few years back where Diggs and Thielen and Cousins kind of all got into it at the end of the game. And, you know, Cousins wasn't getting them the ball and there was this big blow up on the sidelines. What I wrote about that day and what I continue to think about often, you know, even in the wake of Diggs' departure and all of that was it, you know, I looked less at what Thielen was saying to Cousins and kind of the animated conversation that they were having and more to what Diggs said to him a little bit later after things had calmed down. And I saw it on the camera and he came up to him and he said, just trust mm-hmm. me to do this. And I think that's ultimately what these receivers want is a belief from their offensive coordinator and a belief from their quarterback that they are going to make these plays because far more often than not, they have made these plays over their careers. Jefferson for a year and a half, Thielen now for whatever, 4 or 5 years. You know, it just like the track record is there. And so, you know, we in the Detroit game, you know, Jim, you and I were both in that conference room when Thielen and Jefferson were both up there and they bit their tongues and they said the right things. But you could also see a frustration in Thielen's face, you know, that, you know, just give us the damn ball, you know, was kind of the thing. And I think they did that in these situations. And my gosh, when they do it, they just zip down the field so quickly and so easily. And it seems like a no-brainer. And, you know, maybe they'll also be able to, you know, look at this stuff over the bye and really come out of the gates firing, you know, getting ready for Dallas.
Yeah, I want to talk about the upcoming schedule. It's going to be fascinating. I just want to make one more point about Thielen. And, I mean, we know what stereotypes do to sports conversations. And obviously Jefferson's a wonderful player and Diggs is a wonderful player. Adam Thielen is a remarkable athlete. He can make people miss in small spaces. He can beat people downfield. He can out-jump and out-wrestle people for the ball. I've said this before, he is the same size and about the same speed as Jerry Rice. He is mm-hmm. an athlete. He is a strong, flexible, nimble athlete.
Yeah, a few years ago, when I first joined The Athletic, one of my first Viking stories was kind of just like comparing Adam Thielen not to Steve Largent, not to Ed McCaffrey. You know, it was comparing him to Antonio Brown. Like at the time, Antonio Brown was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, was probably the best receiver in the league before he kind of, you know, went a little crazy and had all of his issues. But from route running to separation to hands to catching contested passes, I mean, the catch on the touchdown that he made yesterday was remarkable and it was an incredible throw as well. Let's not shortchange Cousins on that. But like, I mean, he is able to win matchups by using his athleticism, his speed, his smarts, his quickness, like all of those things. And so you're totally right, Jim, in terms of like, yes, he's a white receiver, but he's not just a possession guy. He's not, you know, just kind of the, you know, get downfield, do a button hook and take 8 yards and keep moving. Like, he is a guy who can explosive plays, who can win his matchup all the time. And because he has Jefferson on the other side, because he used to have Diggs on the other side, defenses can't just completely double him and focus on him. And it makes it really tough to stop. And when you kind of take advantage of that, it just stresses the defense so much more than when you're just trying to go, you know, chew clock, run, and get out of there with a tight win.
We're going to be doing the BetUS.com picks later. Just want to let you know that you can go to the BetUS.com website. They have tons of analysis, along with tons of places to bet on any sport you want. Obviously, we talk about the NFL a lot on this show. We frequently do expert picks with Barry Barger from BetUS. You know, the BetUS website, or you can call 800-79-BETUS, 800-79-BETUS. Use the promo code TNorth125. TNorth125 will give you a 125% sign-up bonus. Or if you like crypto, you can use TNorth200 and get a 200% sign-up bonus for using crypto. And again, we'll do our picks later in the show, which is just it's fun. It's also a good way to talk about other games around the league. Also, want to say that, hey, speaking of money, if you tried to call your bank lately, do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. I also want to say Pizza Barn Princeton, pizzabarnprinceton.com. Yes, it's in Princeton. They now have a food truck. We did an event at the TCO Performance Center out in Stillwater, the grand opening. And Jody Stay brought her pizza truck there, and it's awesome. It's not just, you can get hoagies, you can get, cheesecake on a stick, of course. But what I found remarkable is how good the pizza is coming out of a food truck. I've been to Pizza Barn. I've had the pizza up there. It's great. It was just as good out of the food truck. And the food truck is killing it. They're going to add a second food truck because they're now getting requests. They're booked out for months. They're getting requests from all over the metro. So if you'd like to hire the food truck, you might want to get on it. PizzaBarnPrinceton.com. All right, let's get to the schedule now. The Vikings have a bye week. And I want to apologize to all of our listeners. I said that from Carolina through San Francisco, they were going to be facing a 6-game test that would define their season. It was my bad. I should not have lumped Carolina in with other good teams. Carolina's horrible. I think what we're really looking at is a 4-game stretch against really good teams, teams that we know are good right now. Home against Dallas in a night game, at Baltimore, at Chargers, home against Packers. We don't know we just don't know how good San Francisco is right now, or who's going to be playing quarterback for them. So I think I'm going to take that 6-game stretch I've been talking about and say, nope, it's a 4-game stretch against excellent teams: Dallas, Baltimore, Chargers, Packers. This is going to be fascinating because I don't think anybody, if you think the Vikings are going to crash and burn, or if you think they're a Super Bowl team, I don't think anybody would feel comfortable predicting how these 4 games are going to go.
Yeah, no, I agree, Jim. And in fairness to you and then to me, who I also picked, I picked Carolina to win this weekend, to be honest, Jim, the Vikings went to overtime. They almost lost the game. So it's like, you know, it's not like they just steamrolled this team and everything is great. Like, that's, again, like, you know, they played, they did enough to win. They still have plenty of issues. Carolina played horrendously offensively for most of that game, still managed to be in it right to then. Now they got the punt block and things like that to help them from a scoring standpoint. But they drove right down and scored. They could have won in overtime. Who knows? So, but, you know, more importantly, going forward now to these 4 games, you're right. Like, this is it. Like, this is where we will see, I think, exactly what kind of team the Vikings have. Because historically, under Mike Zimmer, when this team plays quality opponents, steps up in weight class, as they are about to do with Cowboys, Ravens, Chargers, Packers, they generally lose. They generally get beaten up front, and it does not go well for them. They seem to have a little bit of wind at their backs. Maybe they've figured out offense a little bit, you know, just given what they were able to do in Carolina, certainly getting Dalvin Cook back healthy. And now he gets a bye to continue to rest up a little bit. And hopefully that means that he'll be really raring to go against the Cowboys. That all helps. That makes an enormous, enormous difference for this offense, but they still got to do it. And I'm definitely not ready after two overtime victories to teams that are either horrendous like the Lions or mediocre at best like the Panthers. I'm not ready to say they've arrived. But I'm also in what I've seen, what I saw with the Panthers game, I'm also not ready to say, well, they got no chance against the Cowboys, or, oh man, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to chew them up. That I think that everything is still in play for this team right now, which is, I think, where they were hoping to be going into this stretch. Obviously, they would have liked maybe one more win, be at 4-2, and then go and going into this. But to be 3-3, to be ready to kind of go against the heavyweights here, now is where they can separate themselves and they can kind of convince some people that, yeah, they are legit, or they could end up taking it on the chin and it's just the same old Vikings.
And I'll say this too. We're journalists. We tend toward clear-eyed analysis. At least we attempt to provide clear-eyed analysis. But this is a great time to be an NFL fan. And frankly, it's a great time to be a Vikings fan, because I'm already looking forward to Vikings, Cowboys,
Halloween.
What a collection of skill position players. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if that's a 42-39 game. I mean, the Cowboys are spectacular offensively. The Vikings can be spectacular offensively. Both teams, you know, have their issues on defense. That's going to be just great entertainment.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look around the league, Jim, I think there's been like, I think I saw a stat, maybe like 23 games have come down to one possession in the last, you know, few minutes of a game of the game. Like these, the parity in the league has, you know, kind of really contributed to close, exciting games all throughout the league all weekend long. And I think that, you know, it will be, I think US Bank Stadium will be an unbelievable atmosphere on that Sunday night to play the Cowboys. We'll see, you know, Dak Prescott dinged his calf a little bit at the end of the game on Sunday. So we'll see if he's got a couple weeks. So he should be ready to go, but we'll have to see and see what's going on there. But it's going to be explosive. It's going to be high flying. It's going to be, you would think, you know, just stand in the middle of the ring and throw your biggest punches and see who's left standing at the end. That is going to be highly, highly entertaining. I can't wait. It's going to be just a blast.
It will be. And we are going to be, John and I will both be covering that game. Obviously, the Vikings have a bye week coming up this week. Let's do our NFL picks here. Again, BetUS, promo code TNorth125 for 125% sign-up bonus. And we're going to pick our top three games of the week coming up. We're going to just focus on the NFC North, even without the Vikings playing. Washington football team at Green Bay. Green Bay favored by 10. I did watch the Washington football team play yesterday. Taylor Heineke is following the pattern of so many substitute quarterbacks. They come in, they run around, they make some plays to get everybody excited, and then when they have to play against a defense that is game plan for them, all of a sudden they can't function. It's 10 points is a lot to give up in the NFL. It's a lot. But Green Bay feeling good, playing at home with healthy skill position players, and Washington starting to get at that point where they're realizing they're probably not that good, I think I take Green Bay and give the points.
I agree with you, Jim. I think that what they've won 5 in a row. Aaron Rodgers is incredibly confident right now. Washington has struggled at times on defense, and Heineke is up and down, inconsistent. That is a recipe for a pretty comfortable win for the Packers, I would think. And so I would take them to cover as well.
Detroit almost beat the Vikings at. And then go home and just play horribly. They are still winless. Now they have to go to the Rams. Again, I'm picking this game because it's a division game. Rams are giving 15.5 points at home. 15.5 points in an NFL game. How do you pick that one?
The Detroit has at times shown some spunk, obviously against the Vikings and others. But the Rams, I mean, I just think they're one of the best teams in the league. And so on the road against a team like that, Matthew Stafford, you know, kind of motivated to to beat his former team. You know, I would put my money on Stafford, the motivation for Stafford kind of being a good thing, and maybe the motivation for Jared Goff being a bad thing. And, you know, it's just I'm going to take the Rams to cover, I think. That is a big spread. But I do remember, you know, back in the day when the Patriots and Randy Moss were just blowing people out, and the odds makers had a hard time adjusting to, okay, how big do we have to make the spread to get paid out on these things? And it just kept getting bigger and bigger. I think that I don't know that there's a spread too big for this one. And so can they win the game 28-10? Yeah, easily. 31-13? Sure. Yeah. So I think that that the Rams roll and the defense gets after their guy Goff a little bit, and it's a pretty ugly one.
Agreed. One more big point spread. Bears at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay giving 13.
Who? I'm going to take Tampa to win, the Bears to cover. I don't really like the Bears, but I think Justin Fields is going to be showing enough potential to make a few plays. The Bucs have certainly been very, very good, but they look a little bit human right now, as most Super Bowl champions do in the second season. And so I that's a little bit of a high number. So I think they can win by 10, and not really have to sweat it out terribly. But I think the Bears can do just enough to hang around and keep within the spread.
We agree on all three picks. I think that Justin Fields trying to establish himself, I could see a backdoor cover where the Bears are still trying hard in the fourth quarter and they score late. So I can't give 13 in that game. So we agree on all three, which means that you should probably pick the opposite. That's what we always recommend.
Exactly.
Here.
Yes, exactly.
Ryder, BetUS.com or the BetUS app are the best way to bet. Let's get a final thought from John here. Again, check out Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider later in the week as well. We really hit the league hard, but he also gets into Vikings issues. And thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. Your final thought on the Vikings, John?
How about a little bit of provocation here, Jim, in terms of...
Oh, man. I'm not sure we can have that on this network.
Is the Vikings defense the Kirk Cousins of defenses? In that, if you look at some of their numbers, they're pretty good. I think, you know, they're in the top 10, and I think in passing yards, passing defense, and a few other metrics that you want to look at in terms of what's a quality defense. But do you trust them in big spots right now? I mean, to let that Carolina offense drive all the way down the field the way they did at the end of that game, you know, to not be able to slam the door on the Lions after the turnover late. I just think that this is a big bye week for Mike Zimmer to really evaluate the defense and see if there's tweaks or adjustments or things that can be made to just kind of close up some of those holes, because there's just been too many times where you think, okay, now here is a spot where the defense has to come through, and they don't. And so I'm a little wary of that going into games against Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott, going into Lamar Jackson, going into Justin Herbert, into Aaron Rodgers. They're going to have to come out of this with a little bit better, a little bit tighter game plans, or else they're going to be in just shootout after shootout every week here.
No, that's a great point. The defense is going to be tested. The offense has been generally productive, but the defense is going to be tested big time the next 4 weeks. And frankly, not only do you have to come out of games like this with a certain number of victories, you also have to come out with your ego and your body parts intact. You know, they need to come out of this stretch. Not only do they need to perform well this stretch, they need to come out of the stretch feeling decent and being relatively healthy. And that will be a challenge against some of these running teams. Good stuff from John. Thank you to our producer, Brandon Morton, as always. For John, Brandon, I'm Jim Suhan. This is TalkNorth.com.